Hey, I'm Janie Pitts, and this is my book, Deeply Defined, Understanding Who You Are in Christ. Deeply Defined takes words that Christians use all the time, but we don't really know what they mean. Words like grace and mercy and faith and glory. We go back to the Greek and the Hebrew and even first century culture, and we define these words so that we can deeply understand what the Bible is trying to tell us. It helps us further live out our faith and understand on a deeper level who God is.
Praise the Lord, that is exactly what we need. Janie Pitts is the author of the book, Deeply Defined, Understanding Who You Are in Christ. She has a journalism degree and a master's from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Janie is over all the local, state, national, and international missions for her church. She has developed mission coordinators in all 24 adult small groups in her church and utilizes them to lead their groups in local mission projects. Love this. In her free time, Janie also plans national and international mission trips. I'm Tina Griffin, and welcome to our series on identity right here on the Counterculture Mom Show. I'm with Janie Pitts, missions mobilizer with New Work Fellowship. Janie, how are you doing this morning?
Hey, I'm doing awesome.
It looks like you're doing awesome. Look at you. You look absolutely fantastic, ready to rock and roll, talking to us about identity.
Oh, man, I am so ready. It's such an important subject.
It is. If we don't know who we are or whose we are, we don't know what we're doing. So thank you for just dropping the bomb on us here today. You and your husband, Corey, serve on staff together at New Work Fellowship and have been married for 26 years. You have two college-age children, both walking with the Lord. Praise the Lord. You're doing something right over there. So thank you for your dedication and parenting to world changers today.
Oh, well, thanks.
Excellent job. You're going to be helping me out with these four kids, 14 and under. So I'm going to put you on speed dial after we're done here. Help! I'm in the teen and pre-teenagers. I'm like, I think I'm going to make it. I have a little bit of hair left. But it's a joy. It's just a lot of work. And we're trying to teach them right now who they are in Christ. So I'm excited to hear what you have to say. What is the holiness of God, and why does it matter that we even understand it?
Okay, I love that question, because especially if we grew up in the church, we think that we understand holiness. But when somebody asks us, hey, what does that mean? We kind of teeter and totter, and we're like, I don't know. And so if we look at the Greek and the Hebrew, it actually fills us in on what the holiness of God is. Both words mean to be separate, and in God's case, above and beyond, but yet he chooses to reach in and interact. So holiness is separate, above, or beyond, but reaching in to interact. And we see this in the Bible right away. I mean, Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth. He's reaching in. We see it when he talks to Moses. We see it when he talks to Samuel. We see it when he talks to Job. And that's just Old Testament. You know, in the New Testament, we see, obviously, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. We see it at Pentecost. We see it when he comes to Paul. I mean, God interacts with us all the time. So God and his holiness, it can't be separated, right? It's not a personality attribute. It's not something that he can turn on and off. It is who he is. It is an integral part of who God is. And so we need to understand that. We're never going to fully understand who God is, because we're human and he's, you know, divine. Right, right. But if we can just get a little bit of it in our heads, I think it helps blow our minds and treat him as holy and not as ordinary. And so that's really important. It's important that we understand it, because if we're supposed to be holy as he is holy, and we need to know what it means. And I mean, your whole show, Counterculture, I love that, because we're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. So we can reach in to interact, but not be in all the hot mess of it all. And as Christians, that's what we're called to do.
Absolutely. And I mean, living counterculturally, it's like I set this high standard. And of course, we're never going to reach perfection. Right. But it does put the pressure on us to make sure we're living every day the way God calls to live. But then again, the blessing in living the way he's called us to live is unbelievable. And I really honestly believe, after 20 some years of walking with the Lord, I am just now beginning to tap into a depth I've never realized before. Just in the last couple of weeks, it's like God majorly is opening my eyes to some critical things that I thought I knew the entire time. And so I'm excited to have you on, because you're going to teach me even more. When we strive to be holy, how does it impact how we actually see ourselves?
Well, when we're trying to be holy, first of all, we remember that God is holy. We are to be like Him. And so we remember that we are a child of the King. And that is foundational, because all of a sudden, it's not just who are we, we're spinning, we're who people say that we are. We don't define ourselves through other people. We define ourselves through who God says it. It's not culture. It's what He says about us. And when we can understand that, we understand further why we're here, what our reason is, what our purpose is. And it's to live as a child of the King and not to be all high and fluty. But again, that holiness to reach and interact. One of my best mom fails ever. My daughter was, I think she was 4 or 5. She was preschool, kindergarten. And I picked her up and she got in the car and she was crying. And my daughter is like happy-go-lucky Odie complex from Garfield all the time. And I was like, babe, what's going on? And she said, Mom, they said that I wasn't a princess. And I was like, well. And I was like, well, babe, you're a princess to Daddy and I. And she was like, but I'm not a princess. And I mean, she just fell apart. And I was like, well, you're a child of the King, but no, you're not like a princess in worldly standards. And it kind of shook her for a little bit. But then she was grounded and she was okay. But I realized she had been acting like she thought she was a princess, and we watched all princess movies and whatever. And so she was very kind. She was very, and never looked down on anybody.
Right.
But it defined who she was. And so knowing that God is holy, knowing that we are supposed to be holy, knowing that we are His child and we're not of this world, then that defines us. We don't have to get stuck in how do people see us, or what do we have to do to fit in, or what does the world say is okay that is directly opposite of what the Bible has to say. And instead of having kind of a clash and trying to figure it out, we can just easily go, no, that's not who I am.
Absolutely. Not letting the culture define who we are. But if we don't know who we are, like you just said, we'll easily be able to succumb to the lies being fed to us on a daily basis from the culture, which is honestly most of the time contrary to the word of God of who God says we are. I'm the type of person where I shoot straight from the hip. I believe I know what God's calling me to do, share some really heavy topics. But sometimes I forget how much God loves me. Like, I know He loves me, but I don't really absorb it and fully feel it. And sometimes I put too much pressure on myself. I have friends of mine that constantly are saying how much God loves them and they're God's daughters and God is amazing and reverence. They have reverence for Him, but then they are stalled and they don't do anything to live out their faith for God. They know who they are in Christ, but they're not moving forward in the mission God placed on them. And frankly, sometimes that drives me nuts, if I can just be honest. But I bet they're thinking, gosh, she needs to take a break. She drives me nuts. Slow down. Enjoy life. Do you have any words to say with what I just said? How can we help people who know their identity but aren't moving forward in the calling God has told them to carry out?
I think that they may know that they are a child of God, but they don't completely know who they are if they don't know what their purpose and meaning is. Because if part of, I loved what you said earlier, and I don't remember exactly, but it's something that I say all the time. We're not called to be perfect, but we are called to be obedient. And obedience is hearing the word of the Lord and living it out. And if we're hearing God's word, but there's no output, then there's something in there. There's something in there that's not quite right, because we've got to live it out, because it's got to be a part of who we are. It's an integral fiber. And if nothing else, when you squeeze this, it's going to ooze out, right? And so I think that that's a great way for Satan to kind of stall any of us, is that we're comfortable, we love the Lord, but yet if we're not doing anything about it and showing it, we need to get over that hump, because we all have a purpose. We all have gifts. We all have abilities that only we can fill. Nobody else can fill it. And God is waiting there going, okay, guys, come on, listen to me.
Yeah. I love what you said and how you said it. So we might know our identity, but we don't know exactly what we're supposed to be doing with our life. But if we don't figure it out and ask God to give us clarity, I've been telling teens for 20 years, if you are not doing exactly what God's called you to do, you're not only missing out on the calling he has for you, which is an absolute amazing. If I could go back and do my whole life over again for the last 20 years, the thing I regret that I didn't jump on with the Lord before the age of 16. I regret that I wasn't saved at 4. I missed 12 years in there because I love serving the Lord so much. So I'm trying to get the teens to realize, and anybody watching this program, yes, it's going to be scary. Yes, you might not know the next 3 or 4 steps ahead of you. Yes, you might be low on finances, but God will provide the people and the means he always had. And I can see that from personal experience. It's unbelievable. We have to get busy, because it's not just us missing out. It's everyone that can be impacted by the Absolutely. Words God wants us to do, or the mission God wants us to be on. And we can't spin our wheels anymore. Christ is right around the corner. I keep saying it, but he is. The other side of things, because I just like beat up some of my friends that are constantly knowing who they are, but they aren't doing much about their walk. How can you get me in line? Anybody else watching this program that falls in my category? We are doers. We pray. We ask God to give us clarity. And we're 150 miles an hour, 24/7. But sometimes we don't take a break and realize that Jesus loves us and really absorb our identity.
Yeah. So I'm glad that you have friends that are opposite of you, because you balance each other, right? Because there's doing, which is so important, but there's also being. Ooh. And I'm a doer, and it's important sometimes that we just stop and be. We don't have to earn our salvation. We don't have to earn his love. We don't have to earn his mercy. He wants us to experience it, but sometimes to experience it, it's not the doing, it's the being. And so I would say, just instead of doing, one of my favorite scriptures, I have it on my bathroom wall. It's be still and know that I'm God, because it's so important that we just stop. And that Hebrew word for be still, the Hebrew is a picture language. And so it usually refers to something that is an action. And the idea of it is it's a fist, but it's a letting go. It's a relaxing, be still. And us doers, because I'm a doer too, us doers we need to learn from our friends that, you know, we need to balance each other out. We need to learn from our friends and just be.
I love it. I have a picture of some of my friends on the bench watching 24/7, and then them watching me collapse at the 2-yard line because I don't sit down and take a water break. Thank you for our sponsors who make this show possible. We'll be right back to investigate our identity and more right after this.
What was the last thing you put on your skin? Did you know that it entered your bloodstream in less than 30 seconds? Hi, I'm Deborah, and while recovering from cancer, I discovered that many ingredients in the most trusted skincare brands are toxic. So after a decade of research and development, my daughter and I created something that was safe for me to use and actually worked. We launched Givaderm, a skincare line that's pure enough for newborn babies, yet powerful enough for the manliest of men, and effective enough for women concerned about anything from breakouts to aging. Our one-of-a-kind line will nourish your skin with natural, organic, and non-GMO ingredients like turmeric, pineapple, exotic mushrooms, French green clay, saffron, and even raw honey. And all of our products are proudly made right here in the USA. Just go to Givaderm.com and enter discount code TINA at checkout to save 10% off your order. That's TINA for 10% off. The next time you put something on your skin, make sure you Givaderm.
With all of the recent changes in the political and financial markets, there has never been a better time than right now to invest in silver and gold. When governments simply print billions of dollars in paper money in hopes of solving financial shortfalls, you know that it is time to buy and hold assets of true and lasting value. Free information is available to you right now by calling 888-747-3309. Whether you are a new investor or you're interested in preserving the value of your retirement accounts, we make it easy for you to make smart decisions for your financial future. The specialists at Cornerstone are here to serve you, work to satisfy your retirement goals, and communicate with respect. Call us right now at 888-747-3309. That's 888-747-3309. Or visit us online at cornerstoneassetmetals.com. That's cornerstoneassetmetals.com.
What better way to proclaim who you are in Christ than to wear a t-shirt that speaks truth? I'm sporting a t-shirt which says, Jesus State of Mind, Live for Him, from friends at Caruso. Caruso is a brand that your entire family will fall in love with. Their shirts are not only comfortable and cool, they will start countless conversations with strangers about the truth of God's love for them. You'll not only rest secure in who you are in Christ, you'll be able to help others find their identity in Him too. Get 15% off your entire order at caruso.com by putting in the code word Tina at checkout. Caruso.com. Wear these shirts and get the conversation rolling. All right, Janie, we are back. You are whipping me into shape, so thank you for cracking the whip today. What are the biblical definitions of forgiveness, and how does accepting it affect our actual identity?
All right, I love this. What we're going to do is we're going to look at three Hebrew words that are in the Old Testament that are defined as forgiveness. And then we're also going to look at one Greek word. All right. So the first Hebrew word that we're going to look at is called nasa, and it means to lift, carry, or forgive. And we see that when it talks about the wheat and the chaff, and the chaff being blown away, but the wheat stay there. That's a form of forgiveness, because God looks at us that way, and He keeps, you know, our good parts, and He forgives us of the parts, and He helps us work through things that we need to let go and that need to just be blown away. And that's one way that we can grow in who He is through His forgiveness. And we need to do that with other people too. We need to keep the good in them and kind of let the bad go on. Another one is called kefer, and it means to cover or atone. And that actually is used also, there's only 8,000 Hebrew words, okay, in the Old Testament. And okay. So they're used for a bunch of different stuff. So this word kefer is defined as forgiveness, but it also is used when Noah is told to cover the boat with pitch. It covers it. And so sometimes forgiveness is a covering over a wrong, not to hide it, but from the person who is forgiving to the person that wronged them, you cover it and you say, you know what, it's okay, I'm not going to look at it anymore. The other Hebrew word is salak, and it's what we think of as forgive. It just basically means to pardon, right? Like a king would pardon a person. So we've got to lift and carry away, we've got to cover, and then we've got to pardon. And then the Greek word is aphiemi, and that's just to send away from, which means not the person. You don't send the person away from you. Whatever it was that was done to you that you need to offer forgiveness, or that we did to the Lord that He needs to offer forgiveness, He goes, and He sends it away. And so in all of these, you see a turning from wrong. It's lifted and carried away. It's separated from. So it's important when we forgive that we separate and move on. Not that I need, and it's really important that I say there are some things that have happened to some people that they can forget, but they do not need to get back in a relationship with. I'm not saying that, but we can still forgive even if we don't have that relationship. However, most people, it's little bitty wrongs, you know, that kind of get us. And we accept those from the Lord. So if we're going to be defined, deeply defined by who He is and be holy as He is holy, then we've got to live that out as well.
Oh my gosh, this week is blowing my mind. You guys rock. All right, just to ingrain that in my brain one more time, grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve. Mercy is when God doesn't give us what we do deserve. Yeah. Praise the Lord for both of them. That's all I got to say. Jeez Louise, I would be in deep trouble right at this moment. Unbelievable. Yeah. How does remembering who God says we are make a difference in how we see ourselves?
Okay, I love this word, remembering, and we totally don't know what it means in our American culture today, or maybe even its modern culture worldwide. I don't know. But the Hebrew term for remembering is zakar. And it what it is you don't just think something. It's not only cerebral. It has to be accompanied by action. So to remember in the biblical mindset is to draw it to mind, but then it extends actions outward. So when we remember who God is, we're going to live through that obedience. We are going to let his love flow through us. We are going to use the gifts and abilities and personality that he has given us for his glory. We're not going to be okay just sitting there and soaking in. And again, we talked about being and doing.
Yes.
And yes, it is so important to be, but we have to balance it with do. And just like we can't just do if we don't be, because eventually that doing, it turns into kudos for us or what we can do. So that balance is there. So that remembering who we are in Christ, it's imperative. It is the bottom line. I mean, and everything that we've talked about today kind of goes together. The holiness goes together. The forgiveness goes together. The grace and mercy. And then, you know, all of that is to be remembered, and you know, air quotes, remembered, because we got to live it out. And that's our identity.
I absolutely love what you're saying right now. And honestly, if we look at Jesus's life, as you're explaining that, I'm seeing a picture of Christ on the earth for his 33 years of ministry. And what did he do? He wasn't just sitting and praying 24/7 in the mountains to God and knowing who he was and talking just to God. And he wasn't out preaching 24/7. He did both. And what you're saying to me completely makes a ton of sense. All right, Janie, I don't want to see you go here for a couple of minutes, but we're going to have our second fantastic commercial break with our phenomenal sponsors, making it possible to have you on the program. Thank you, sponsors. Shout out to all you people that make this possible. And we're going to be right back talking more with Janie, grabbing her book, and so much more right after this.
The International Labor Organization recently reported the number of people trafficked globally has risen from 40 million to 50 million in the last 5 years. Most are women and children bought, sold, or traded into sex trafficking. Rescue One Global, a faith-based nonprofit, answered the call to fight for those enslaved in the U.S., Thailand, and the Philippines. Their mission is to prevent the victimization of at-risk populations, rescue those trapped, and restore survivors through their multiple global recovery initiatives, including providing emergency shelter and residential programs. Rescue One has served nearly 800 survivors from newborn to the elderly and provided over 14,000 therapeutic services because of faithful partners like you. To make your tax-deductible gift, text TINA to 44321. That's TINA to the number 44321. Let's rescue more lives together.
Hi, this is Kevin Sorbo, and I want to introduce you to Equipping the Persecuted and their important work in Nigeria. The mission of Equipping the Persecuted is, as the name states, to equip our brothers and sisters in any way that we can. People in Nigeria are suffering at the hand of terrorists for their faith in Jesus. Sadly, very little is being done to create a lasting solution. That's where we step in. Our goal is to protect, rebuild, and strengthen families in both body and spirit. We are prepared with the resources necessary to respond after an attack. We provide medical aid, food, and a team to pray and comfort victims. Our persecuted brothers and sisters need your help. Take action today with a monthly gift of $20 or more at equippingthepersecuted.org. That's equippingthepersecuted.org. Thank you for your time.
Janie, you have a free 6-week study guide on your website that corresponds to your book, Deeply Defined. Tell us more about the study guide and where can we find it on your fantastic website, which is janiepitts.com, everybody, JaneyPitts.com.
Yes, you can go to my website. You just hit free stuff and you'll see Bible study discussion guides. There are 6 that are there. You can print them out. They're even pretty. They'll print out pretty for you. And it takes the book. The book has 30 chapters. And so it takes 5 chapters every time that you meet and it goes over it. The book was written for the chapters to kind of be in chunks. Now, some people have told me that they use my book also as a quiet time guide, and they'll take one chapter a day for 30 days and they do it like that. Or you can just read it. But I like the study because I think it's important that we come together as believers and talk about it, because something that pops out to you may be different than what pops out to your friend. And I think it helps us be more deeply defined.
I absolutely love it. And I want to break this down for the people that are tuning in via SiriusXM or on a radio here. Here are the top six sessions you have: holiness and sin, confession, repentance and forgiveness, mercy and grace, the gospel, salvation, obedience and faith, wisdom, and the last one, which I got to do right now, be still, hope,
yes,
and remember. Everybody out there, watch all four episodes. You will be blessed by the people that God lined up on our program this week, the Counterculture Mom Show. Go to our brand new website, counterculturemom.com. You're going to love it, love it, love it. Janie, you rock. Keep at it. I will see you here sooner than later.